Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Hebrews 10, also on the screen, you'll see the same scriptures and some main points on the PowerPoint, so feel free to look up there if you will. Matter of fact, if you can, read with me Hebrews 10, 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Again, we're teaching about today the power of promise, and my subtopic today is the process of promise. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6. Talk about Abraham. We'll come back and go a little deeper with him in a moment. 6:13 Hebrews, read please. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. You know, in the courts, when they begin to take witnesses and begin the court proceedings, they have a hand on the Bible and they affirm or swear they'll tell the truth. And of course, the Bible is then there to say that is a higher authority, so they swear by the Bible. Well, God, when God chose to make an oath or to swear, he could swear by no higher, so he swore by himself. So God has the power to make oaths, to swear to do something, and he has the authority to bring it to pass. 2 Peter chapter 1, our third scripture for today, as we lay a foundation. 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's read together from verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He said that there are for us exceeding great and precious promises, not just promises, but exceeding great and precious or valuable promises. He said, this is what's been given to us. The caveat is, the condition is, that we would become partakers of his divine nature. That is, get in position to receive it. Now, today I'm talking about the power of promise. One of the greatest blessings we have in life is that a promise has been made to us. Many promises have been made to us. And the best things in life often come as fulfillment of a promise from someone who has the power to make and fulfill promises. A promise is a covenant agreement between the promise maker and the receiver of that promise. And we're aware of many promises that have been made to us and kept. Your parents made and kept promises to you, your educators, your coaches, mentors. People have made promises and kept promises to you. But there are many more promises you aren't aware of. Promises that, for example, parents made on our behalf when we're too small to understand. Parents have made promises to care for us, to train us, to educate us, protect us. And then there's more promises from ancestors and people you never knew, never met, who prayed for you that you would come along and experience a certain kind of life. And so every generation wants a better life. Amen. And so we make these promises to ourselves to do for other people what they need. The power of promise is that the blessing of the promise lifts us up and helps us become the kind of people that God has called us to become. Y'all believe that? Amen. We've also encountered situations where something was overpromised, you know, and not delivered, right? We say overpromise and underdeliver. Remember one time a guy came to our house to seal coat, offered to seal coat, blacktop our driveway. I said, well, it needs to be done. He says, and I'll give you a 10-year guarantee. I'm like, wow, man, 10-year guarantee? 10 years? I said, well, give me your card. Well, I don't have a card. You got a phone number? No. Website? No. Address? No. There's no way to contact him. So if a problem came up with the seal coat, He warranted and guaranteed for 10 years. There's no way I can call him to find out how you can fulfill your promise to make good on the fix, right? Because a warranty is a kind of promise, right? So I laughed. I thought to myself, you know, well, he may as well promise me a 100-year warranty and 2 tickets to Hawaii. You know what I'm saying? He may as well said that. Here's the point, though. The point is anybody can make a promise. That's not what's important. It's not important, listen, that people can make a promise. What's important is that people have the will and the power to fulfill a promise. And I mean God as well. God and people have the will and the power. So then a promise by itself made is nice, sounds good. Question is, can you back that up? And this guy with the seal coat, he couldn't back up a promise. And that's how we live today in a world where sometimes promises like that are made. We call them empty promises. But God has allowed us to live in a world where there are people and there is a God who makes and keeps promises. You glad about that? Amen. And the Bible talks about many problems in our day and problems that really result from broken promises. Sometimes there's violence and there's neglect and abuse. And all these things, lying and such, these are all a form of broken promises to care for people, to love and protect people, to watch out for folk. And yet, before a lack of promise keeping, we have all these problems today. Now, I thought about this as well, that when you think about what promise breaking does to a person, first of all, a promise is made and it raises expectations and hope and joy and confidence. And then when a promise is broken, then it leads to disappointment, right? In a broken heart situation. But think about this too. Many times promises are made to children. And when a child hears an adult make a promise, they feel like, man, wow, it's as good as done. But if that promise is broken, then that leads not just disappointment, sometime in a child, it can lead to growing up not trusting, not having confidence even in God. It can be also a problem where there can be some kind of emotional trauma attached to that. You know, trauma isn't just physical. Trauma is also emotional and mental, right? So some things can inflict a trauma. And so we see a child who now is a youth and they're acting out and we say misbehaving, but we don't know that maybe that they're kind of living out a trauma from broken promises, leading to bad behaviors of adults toward them. Who knows what people have gone through? It just shows me that the power of promise is that we have God who keeps all his promises, but we have the challenge then to be like the Lord in keeping our promises. Amen? Now, we don't have the power to make things happen without God's help. We can do some things. I'm not even saying that we don't make mistakes and come short sometimes. I'm not talking about making a promise, just can't do it, and you say, I'm sorry, can't do it. But an empty promise is where someone acts like they're going to fulfill it, and they cannot fulfill the promise. That's what is the problem, where we're setting up people for disappointment. And over a course of time, with children especially, that becomes, I believe, a form of emotional trauma. But the good news is, we have a God who keeps all his promises, and he shows us how to do it too. He shows us how to follow his example, and he gives us grace to do what we cannot do without him. Y'all believe that? Amen. Now, one of the great lessons we've learned in life, all of us have been students in school. One of the great lessons of being a student, I mean, preschool, elementary, high school, I mean, post-secondary, graduate, The great benefit of being a student is that you learn and gain the skill of responsibility and learn to keep promises. Think about this. The very fact of going to school, going to class, you've made a promise. I'm going to learn something. I'm going to listen to my teachers. I'm going to read the material, I'm going to do the exercises, I'm going to follow the instruction, I'm going to keep my promise to be a good student And of course, the educators make their promise to educate us and help us. And that whole process, from the earliest ages we're in school through the graduate level, that whole process builds in us confidence. It builds in us skill to do an assignment, to get things done, to keep promises, however small. And that habit, we call that person, that he's a great student. He just keeping promises. A really good student is a person, a boy, a girl, a man, a woman who just keeps promises to themselves, to the school, to the teacher, to the class. And that becomes a foundation for our lives. So school, in many ways, is obviously a very important part of our lives, and getting it right and doing our best is important for lots of reasons. And so we understand then that because we have had mentors and parents and coaches and teachers to help us, then they have helped us to learn to be a person of purpose, persons who keep promises, persons who get things done, including promises we keep to ourselves. Now, let's go back to Abraham. We mentioned this. Go back to Hebrews 10, Hebrews 6 again. Let's go back to Abraham. Talk about him now. Why is he important to our discussion today? Hebrews 6:13 again says, when God made his promise to Abram, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. Well, what was the promise? What did God promise Abraham? Good question, right? What did God promise? Well, look at Genesis chapter 12 on the screen as well. And how does this scripture and how does this story affect us today? Well, we'll see it. Hebrews, Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, note the name, Abram at that time, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. That's a promise. I will bless you. I will make your name great. That's a promise. And you shall be a blessing. That's another big promise. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Those are some great and precious promises. Pretty heavy, too, because God's expecting him to walk in these promises. Well, you think, well, it sounds okay. I mean, you know, I can see this, you know, leave the country and go do something. We've all done that. We moved different places, and I will bless you. Yeah, great. And I'll bless your family. Yeah, sounds normal. Until you realize something about Abram. First of all, his name was Abram when God first spoke to him. Abram means father. After the promise came, God changed his name to Abraham, which meant father of nations. Now watch this. He became father of nations before he had the first child. Before he was even a father, God had said, I'm going to call you according to my promise on your life. My promise is in the process of helping you become what I see in you. See, promises have that power. A promise already begins to mold and reshape you and help you think different. The very promise changes your name. Not your born name, but your name of purpose. Your name of your dream, your design in life. That name, that inward motivational name, that changes. And you begin to move toward the thing that's been promised to you. That's why promises must be kept. Because when God gives his promise, we don't want anyone to think that, well, all promises don't mean anything. See, these folk promised me this, didn't come through. So we gotta keep our promises to our children, to other people, and they learn then to trust God as well, who can deliver really big time on promises. Now, again, this all sounds good. Abram, you're going to go out. God's going to bless you, going to use you, make your name great. Happens all the time. But one important detail about Abraham, he was 75 years old when God said this. His wife was 65 years old. Now, you can't be the father of nations without one child. You got to start with one. They had no children. And so this is why it was difficult for them in the beginning, is because they heard, in fact, the first time Sarah heard it, she laughed. Like, oh, she laughed. It was kind of funny. Think about that. It was funny. Even if God said it, it seems funny because I'm 65 years old. Look, God, I'm way past. But to make matters even more challenging is it didn't happen the year after God promised it. It was 25 years before it actually happened. The first child came when Abraham was 100 years old and she was 90 years old. She had a baby, y'all, at 90. I don't want to think much about that. That's interesting. It wasn't a miracle. It was a miracle. It was a miracle in the sense of what God did, but they went through all the, you know, I won't, no details. It was just an amazing thing. A miracle of God's purpose. But listen to me. It didn't take God that long to do what he promised. It took them that long to believe that God could do it. And that's our problem. It's not that it takes God a long time to do things. It takes us sometimes a long time to believe that he can do it. And some promises are totally outside the realm of your experience and your skills. Many of us have skills. We're educated people. We're smart folk. We work hard. We can make a lot of things happen just through our own diligence. And that's a good thing. We can make our own promises come to pass. But some promises you can't make happen. And this is a promise. And this story is in the Bible, I believe, as an example of what we just cannot do. All right, so then let's see something here. Go to Romans chapter 4 now. It's on the screen. Let's see this process. Again, the topic is the process of promise. All right, we've heard the promise to Abraham. You're going to be a father of nations. You're going to be great. We're going to make you a blessing to all families, which, by the way, includes us. And so what was it? What's the process that allowed him to come to the place where she first laughed? He didn't believe it. He struggled with it. For 25 years, they struggled with it. But then something happened. I pick up from verse 18, Romans chapter 4. It says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall our descendants be. Now, what does it mean when it says, contrary to hope, in hope believe? What does that mean? Well, hope is expectation. Expectation. It can go two directions. You can have negative hope, expect bad things to happen, expect nothing to happen. Or you can have positive hope, I expect good things to happen. They both had negative hope. We are too old. We're past the childbearing years. And so it says against hope, against the negative hope, in hope they believed. He says, according to what God spoke. There it is, the promise. The promise of God gives you hope. And listen to me, when God gives you hope, the hope he gives you can override all the negative hopes or expectations in your life. So hope isn't always positive. Hope is sometimes going the other direction. So then the process was, as God worked with him, and read the Bible from Genesis 12 chapter 17, and God came back to him again and again and again. God encouraged Abraham over and over again. Because it took that long for him to get to the place where God could help him. Now, watch this. It says, verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body now dead, since he was about 100 years old. His own body dead. Not dead in terms of physical life, reproductively dead. I mean, he had to have a blessing and a miracle in his body, but he first had to trust God, and that was not a miracle. That was a decision. So it says this, verse 20, this is good. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Again, he didn't start here. He did not start at a place where he had strong faith and did not waver. He had to go through a process to get to the place where it said he did not waver at the promise of God. People, everything we need is in the promise of God and the promise of our parents and whatever you're doing. And that if we lose faith in the process, as the opening scripture said, we can't receive the promise. But I love this last verse here. Verse 21, it says this. I love this. It says, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. He became fully, some versions say persuaded. He became convinced. Now think about this. In the end, it's simple. It's simple. Do I believe that God can do what he said? Not that I can do what he said. Can he do? And it's simple in concept, but it's difficult in process. But here's the point, though. You'll get there. Just keep loving God. Keep serving God. Just keep, you know, reading the Bible and just stay in the Word. And it's amazing how these promises that once seemed so far off and so impossible, you begin to see it's possible. And not just possible, you become confident that God will do it for you. Now, most promises have conditions. Most promises are conditional, except this one. Love is an unconditional promise. No conditions of love. You know, God loves us at all times. No matter what you do, God will always love you. Now, it may be we don't please God. We don't make him, you know, we don't bring joy to him, but he'll never stop loving us. No matter what we do, where we go, he will, because love is unconditional, and our love should also be. No matter what I do, what you do, we should never not love each other. Amen? Again, the behavior may be unacceptable, but the love never changes. So then we see Abraham became persuaded. And then the story goes, you can read it later on, that yes, that first child came. Isaac came. Abraham, Isaac. Isaac showed up. He was the first. And then Jacob, and the whole plan of God unfolded from a man who was 100 years old and a wife who was 90. It's never too late. Y'all say it's never too late. Never too late. Never too late. Here's the process of promise. Here it is. Let me give you some quick statements. Number one, the process is the thing that is promised. Right? These are obvious statements. Second, the conditions, mistyped there, the conditions of the promise. If the promise has conditions, what are the conditions? Because some promises are conditional. We got to meet conditions. Number three, acceptance of the promise. We accept it, we receive it, we embrace it. It's a part of our lives. It goes into our thinking, into our planning, into our living. Number four, then there's the power to perform the promise. Now, that depends on who we're dealing with here. Obviously, we as parents have power to perform certain aspects of our promises to our children, and your employers, your coaches and mentors, your educators, and, of course, God most of all. Depends on what the promise is. But there has to be some power available to make a promise happen. Amen? Amen. I mean, if you want to get, you know, a loan, you know, for you to buy a house, you got to go to a lender who has money. I mean, obvious. But sometimes there's these people out here who are like brokers and all this kind of stuff. They don't have any money. They want to get between you and the money. No, listen, go direct to the money. Just talk to the people at the bank. You be the broker. Because some brokers have no power. Now, some do have provide a good service in connecting you, but sometimes folk are just between you and your blessing. It had no power to perform. Another tip I'll give you, when you're dealing with situations in life and in community and business, find somebody who can say yes. Amen. Folks said no, all right, hang up, call back. Find somebody who can say yes. If you know it's for you and it's in there, then don't give up. Don't be deterred or discouraged when you hear no. Those who are in sales, I had no idea how salespeople keep their minds. I mean, I couldn't imagine going out trying to sell something. Folks say, I don't want that. I don't need that. All right, go next door. Nope, don't want it. After five, I'm done. I feel bad. Nobody wants what I have. But a salesperson is so resilient. The stat says it's about 3 in 10 people are going to respond. So you hang on if you can. But the point is, if you're not wired that way, then you're not wired that way. But understand, though, if you're going to go through life, there are some times when rejection is a big part of the process you have to go through. Please don't take it personal. And don't stop moving forward when rejection comes. And then finally, there's fulfillment of the promise. So the thing that's promised, the conditions of promise, the acceptance of promise, the oath. Number three, after acceptance is the oath. Now, the oath is that someone affirms or confirms that they can do it. See, I can say to you, I promise to do something. But sometimes you have to come back and swear or affirm, you know, that, okay, I affirm to you, I will keep this promise. Sometimes it means signing a contract. You sign the contract. Sometimes it means earnest money. There are ways by which we have to show earnestness or make an oath. Now, so God did it. We can do it. But we do it in a way we don't swear. We just affirm or we just show earnestness, or by our own record, track record, people see and know if he says something, it's a done deal. Amen. People should have that feeling about us, that if we say it, we're going to do it. So there's the oath of the promise, then the power to perform the promise, and then the fulfillment of the promise itself. Thought about this as well. In our country, we have a constitution that kind of governs the structure of how our nation is governed. And the preamble says this. It says this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's a promise, isn't it? What's curious is that when this was written, we still had slaves in the country. And this was not written for slaves. All men equal did not include them. But the slaves, when they got hold of that, you know, well, we claim this. We're going to claim it. We in this country, we built this country, we claim the. So they lay hold to the promise. And people like Frederick Douglass and abolitionists, you know, black and white, man, they went in and they pressed the issue based on our nation's promise. Dr. King's message on that day, that famous speech, I Have a Dream speech, was based on the promise the country made to all her citizens. See, so my point is, promises are powerful. They're powerful. And if you believe a promise, you have every right to reach into the promise and let that promise transform your life. Amen, somebody? Amen. Love it. Think about it. Your parents, my parents, grandparents, ancestors, man, they came through some stuff. I mean, not just black folk, white folk, the Polish people. I mean, immigrants who've come here have all had histories of having to lay hold on the promise and demand to be respected. Amen, somebody? Amen. I mean, to this day, my wife and I, we go to restaurants. I don't know what this is. I could prove it scientifically. We always get taken to the table by the kitchen. Almost always. So now it's like, how many, two, and we're not sitting by the kitchen. I just have to say it because it's just, I don't know what that is. But if you have rights, never negotiate your rights. Never negotiate your right. You stand on what you know the promise of God is, your nation's promise. You stand on, say, I will stand on all the promises that belong to me, my children, my family. Amen. Amen. Let's finish up here. So the promise of a better life. I knew, of course, my grandparents. I knew a great-grandparent, Mama Georgia, we called her. I've known enough people in my family to know what they thought about life, what they think about the importance of promises and preparing the next generation for a good life. And so that was what I understood. But the amazing thing is that nothing, this is a point, PowerPoint too, look for this point. Nothing focuses the purpose of your life more than becoming responsible for another person's life. Can y'all say amen to that? Yeah, I think her Max will say amen to that, okay? And that's true. That's why we now, this thing of promise means more to us when we have children. Because now I'm responsible for another person's life. When I was by myself, it's just me. Running around, doing what I want to have a wife. I mean, that was important. She was important, of course, as well. It did change me. But having children changed everything. Everything changed, okay? And it's amazing how smart my parents became. When we had kids, they became so much wiser, you know, when we had our own children. Last Wednesday, I went to a service, a funeral service for my cousin, Thomas Brinkley. You don't know Thomas Brinkley. Some of you maybe knew him, but we called him Tanny. And Tanny was my grandmother's sister's son. And he and Dad grew up kind of like brothers. And one of the promises Tanny made to himself, I realized later on, was that he would be a blessing to his family, to the community, to us cousins. He was the first one I remember who had a big yard. And he actually put in a paved basketball court, had it paved and put up a court in cement. I mean, most of our courts fell over, you know, you knock them over. He put in a genuine half-court basketball court. And so we played basketball with him and my dad. And Dad and Tanny were really good ball players. They were really good players. They taught us how to play and taught us how to, you know, how to get and hold the pick in positions. And, you know, taught us how you don't come down the middle without some consequence. You just can't go from here to there, you know, with no defender. You might even get hacked, okay, on the way in. But my point is, I realized in that service and hearing people talk about Tanny, how much he lived out that sense of promise. He actually became, he began to cook foods for people, I think at a mission. Where was it that he cooked food at a church somewhere? Prepared meals, where? Yeah, he prepared meals for people. He did things for people out of a sense of promise he felt to his boys, his two boys, his two girls, but also to us cousins and just kids in the community. And that meant a lot to me thinking about that even now, because I realized I had somewhere to go to play ball. I mean, I could play ball in the parks and all that. Oftentimes was violence in there. But at Tanny's house, he would also feed us. May have been a part of the reason we went over there, too. He fixed barbecue, had a pool. He put a above-ground pool in there. Man, it was so cool being at Tanny's house. And that's what I believe people of promise look like. We're not just blessing ourselves, but we're blessing our families and blessing the community. So then we have to then recognize that many of the breakdowns and tragedies in our world because of broken promises. I already said that. But we have found this as well, that for every broken promise, there is the opportunity to keep promise. There's a chance for us to let Jesus transform us and make us into promise keepers. Look at John 10, verse 10. Jesus said this. He said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life, and that more abundantly." Right? So all this stealing and killing, destruction is in the world around us. We see it every day. But Christ came to give us life, and not just life, but life more abundantly, abundant life. And so we are people of purpose, living an abundant life, living the legacy of promises made, and like Abraham, we're becoming a blessing to other people. In fact, say that. Say, I am a person of purpose, living an abundant life, living the legacy of promises made, and like Abraham, I'm becoming a blessing to others. Two scriptures, and we'll close with these two here. Again, promise scriptures to think about. John 15, verse 5. Says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. That's a promise. Another promise here, a final scripture. 2 Corinthians. Actually, I'm going to close with the one we began with. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, if I read this one, if you could, please. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you is Christ, and has anointed us is God. All the promises are yes, not no. All the promises are God. Now, promises of man, who knows? The previous verses said, is yes, no, but with God, it's yes, and amen means so be it. And then finally now, first scripture we gave you, Hebrews 10:35. Read again, please. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Let's all stand if you can. Father, thank you for reminding us of what many of us already know. And we all know it in some way, that a promise kept brings blessing and purpose. And Lord, in a world of broken promises, we are honored to serve a God who has never, ever broken a promise. We may have walked away, Lord, from you and not received the promise fulfilled, but it's not because the promise wasn't there and that you didn't intend to help us fulfill the promise. Lord, thank you for the promises made by our ancestors and our parents and all and friends and mentors and family members, father-like ones, mother-like ones, who have promised, made promises and kept their promises. And Lord, because of that, we're blessed today. We are encouraged today. We have, Lord, what we need today. Lord, we have access today because of the promises that have been made. Even the promise of our country itself is a big part of what we have today. And all this, Lord God, works together to paint a picture that the process of promise is so important for us to walk through, Lord God, to not miss the steps, and not for the sake of our own works, but for the sake of grace. For when grace provides us something, Lord, it's best for us to receive it, walk in it, respect it, and love you and others through the whole process of it. And then, Lord, ultimately, like Abraham, we become a blessing to other people.